Lime, duh. All right, what up, Jabroniacs? We are coming off of AEW Revolution. It just ended. I'm sitting here across from the Magent himself, Brian Dipperstein.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, I got so many wrestling thoughts. Too many. As a matter of fact, we're sitting in your house right now with the Fiend lighting galore.
What's it like to be in Dipperstein Towers? Tell me, how would you describe it?
It's a delightful experience. One of my favorite touches is that there's always a nice Jewish delicacy.
Do I ever disappoint?
Never. Absolutely never. As a matter of fact, I was supposed to host the AEW Revolution Party, and you said you wanted it, and I was like, you know what? Always have a nice time going over there. It's yours.
Tonight, I'd like to give a shout-out to Factor's Deli to saying, you know, for understanding what it is to cut lean corned beef.
I saw the corned beef was different.
Very lean corned beef tonight. Very lean pastrami as well.
The pastrami was extremely lean. I did notice that.
I don't know how
you don't like a fatty pastrami.
No, I don't understand how these people that eat grizzled cold cuts get up in the morning. I mean, how do you live with yourself after eating all that grizzle?
You know, they do it. They just do it. You know, it's a lot of. I feel like sometimes you wake up, I feel the salt on my tongue.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Did you notice today? The schmorg did not have any macaroni salad.
I noticed that. It was a potato salad and a coleslaw gimmick.
And that's because I don't like the macaroni salad from Factors.
Wow. What's wrong with it? Let me guess. There's two options of what it could be. Mm-hmm. A little watery is the problem. Sometimes it could be a little watery, so at the bottom you see a little bit of liquid. Or too mayo-y.
It's sort of like that. It's not really a macaroni salad. It's more like a macaroni salad adjacent with just like a very, very light amount of mayonnaise and like some garnishy gimmicks in there. You know,
What's the kind of macaroni salad you enjoy?
I like it creamy, thick, creamy. Yeah. I like thick, creamy.
Yeah,
that's the type I like.
I'm not a big macaroni salad guy. I'll eat the fuck out of
macaroni salad guy.
I will eat the fuck out of macaroni salad. I'll eat a potato salad. I'll eat a coleslaw. I'll eat all of it, but it's not a go-to for me.
Macaroni salad's not a go-to. Nah. What are you, a latke orderer? Are you a latke on the side guy?
Yeah, I like a latke on the side. I like a latke on the side.
You think you know people in this town?
I'll say
you
this.
You think you have friends in Hollywood, and then they reveal things to you like they'd rather have a latke on the side than macaroni salad.
Well, I prefer most things hot. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I'm at the restaurant. They give me something cold. It's always in my mind. It's like, I could have done this.
Like it could have been sitting there for a while?
Yeah, yeah. Like I could have done this. Or like how close are they checking the dates?
By the way, my family, like a Dipperstein thing is, that's been sitting there for ages.
They it's got a layer.
My family always, yeah, I like the salad bar, but you know that stuff's been sitting there for ages.
Right,
that's a big thing in the Dipperstein household. That was a big thing growing up. How long has the salad bar stuff been sitting there?
I you know, like a good place will do a lot of mix. They'll do a lot of mixing. You know what I mean? A constant go through the fridge, mix it up so that there's no film.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to film. In fact, tonight I saw on the Thousand Island and the mayonnaise, a film start to... I'm very good knowing when the film is getting to a point where it needs to be stirred.
Well, as a host, do you take responsibility for the film?
I'm one of the biggest film recognizers in the business today. In the film
recognizing industry. Well, you work in the film industry and then in your casual personal life. Mm-hmm. You're always watching film.
Yeah, it has a double meaning. Yeah. Watching film for me has a double meaning, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, because I do think like when you're, you know, there's pay-per-view going on, you know what I mean? And we're all enjoying it. But I do think you do have like a Jewish mother's energy of a lot of like popping in the kitchen, asking people if they want beverages, checking the film, seeing if there's... Let's say you have a sandwich tray out. Sometimes there's more sandwiches in the kitchen. You want to refill that up.
By the way,
can we talk about what I brought to the party?
Hold on. Right. I want to give a real quick shout out to Scott Ratner tonight, who is sitting here tonight in Dipperstein Towers. He walked in the kitchen as I was cleaning a plate and said, "What's going on back here in Gorilla?" And I popped for that. I popped
That's
for that big
great wrestling joke.
You know, I'm thinking about putting a curtain in the kitchen entryway.
I think a curtain would be great. What
with
I would
a big
love,
X on it. You
what
know,
I honestly would love, and honestly, I might be willing to invest in this. Is could you get instead of a backsplash? Could you get that like? Whatever that print is they have in the real Gorilla, it's like kind of fans cheering or whatever.
You I like that as the backsplash.
Yeah, and then you get a red, you need a red counter, I believe.
Do you have a backsplash guy?
I don't have a backsplash guy. I know my mom's in the market for a backsplash right
People
now.
Are looking for backsplashes backsplash, up the wazoo.
That's the only reason I know what a backsplash is because my mom's in the market.
People can't get enough of their backsplashes. That's the first thing they're showing off these
How
days.
Did I do what I brought?
You did. It was. Let me tell you, it was unexpected, and it was M-A-J. Mage.
I felt like it was a big hit. I brought a, it was called a quarter tray of baklava.
Where was that baklava from, by the way?
It's called Le Goutte, I believe.
Le Goutte.
Le Goutte. It's by my house. It's a Armenian, I believe an Armenian bakery. I'm not exactly sure, but I assume, because I live in a very Armenian neighborhood, so I just assume it is based on the people in there. I should probably find out.
You know what? Le Goutte for Le Champion.
Yeah. I mean, people were like, where'd you get this baklava?
Yeah, there was some baklava chatter.
Now, one thing about the baklava, I just want to let people know about a quarter sheet. And by the way, this is a professional wrestling podcast, and we know that, and we will get to it. But a quarter sheet of baklava had a lot of different variations of baklava.
What'd you pay for that baklava? $30?
What do you guess?
Yeah. $29.99.
It was $25.
$25?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have told me it was $30.
You know what? I you said 30, and I said yeah, but then you said what did you pay, and I was like, well, if you're gonna ask, I'd agree.
Probably 27 with tax.
I would agree to a 30. Yeah, with tax, like a 27.
Yeah, you broke a 20 and a 10. Yeah, that's all that matters.
I think that's a
that's
nice,
all that matters
I feel
to
like
me.
That's a nice amount.
That's a nice
to be
amount.
Honest,
to bring.
I didn't know what it cost when I picked it out. I was like, this is a good thing to bring. So if it was more, I would have paid for it. If it was less, I still
you made a bizarre. You made a stop to an obscure place before coming to Dipperstein Towers.
Absolutely.
So you know what? I appreciate that. Anyway. AEW Revolution.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the great pay-per-views of our lifetime, Jason.
I think it was the best pay-per-view of all time. No, I mean, it was a good time. It definitely met my expectations. I wouldn't say it exceeded my expectations. I think it was like, yeah, good. That was like exactly what I'm looking for at AEW. I think we got to jump right to the main thing, though.
Okay, but let me just say...
Which is the...
I was just going to say the one thing that I thought was really, truly missing was a gimmick match. I wanted to see the cage tonight. I wanted to see, you know, some like a backstage brawl tonight. I wanted to see some gimmicked match tonight, even though a lot of it was super hardcore. I still
the Orange Cassidy match was a gimmick match, no?
No. No, I'm talking about like a gimmick match, meaning like there was a stipulation or there was a cage or there was something. That I wanted to see.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think that the tag match was the highlight of the night. The Young Bucks and Paige and Omega. That match was sick. Tore the house down. Had probably too many false finishes, I would say.
If there's any more Hangman Page haters out there, I think you got to think twice about that. You know that take.
I think that's the story of the evening. Hangman Page. John Moxley, two guys who have taken some hate. Talking about heat on this podcast, Dean Ambrose. I couldn't have been harder on Dean Ambrose. But
about it now.
I mean, I will say this, and it almost feels weird to say, but I try to be as honest as possible on here. I almost thought that shirt he wore, I was all like, that's buyable merch. The Mox spray paint.
That is buyable merch.
The cow style Mox shirt.
Yeah, it was a beautiful garment.
It was great. I was like
a ripoff of Jace of cow merch.
Well, I mean, it's a ripoff of Jace of the cow merch, but also a ripoff of the NWO style show. But NWO never made a shirt like that.
That's true. Yeah, that just tells you how iconic the NWO is. That you know, 20 years later, they're still 24 years later, they're still making merch that you know It's an homage to it.
Yeah. But I was like, you know, he's doing great work. I mean, he's not one of my guys. I'll be honest, he's still not one of my guys, John Moxley. Would you say John Moxley is one of your guys?
No. Absolutely
not. Absolutely not. Yeah, I don't think he'll ever be one of my guys.
No.
Same thing as Adam Page. I doubt Adam Page is ever going to be one of my guys. But both of these guys who were kind of in the Jabron zone for a while, they're kind of undeniably great talents. I mean, especially in ring. Like, Adam Page is just like that. He did a moonsault off the top rope, landing on his feet for a guy that size.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's really funny because out of all the love that we show to AEW, I wouldn't say that I can name that right. many guys on the roster that are one of my guys. You know, like that I would really consider one of my guys. I think
What guys on the AEW are Dark Order?
I would say that the person I'm always most excited to see is Darby.
I agree.
He's one of my guys.
Yeah, great.
And Lucha Brothers are one of my guys.
Yeah, Lucha Bros. I mean, they
are.
I pop for them every time. I always forget about them. Do you have that? Like, I forget about them that they're in AEW because they're not there like every week.
I would say.
And when they show up, I'm like, yes.
Phoenix, in my opinion.
Yes.
And I'm sure, you know, there's people with varying opinions on this, obviously. Phoenix is the greatest living wrestler on earth right now, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an extremely talented guy. Best. You know, it depends how you quantify.
In-ring talent.
In-ring talent only?
In-ring talent. He might be the best in the world.
He's got to be up there. I mean, he's
top five.
Very fluid, especially lucha-style wrestler.
He's top five.
I just want to
say. Who would be the best? I don't even. It's funny. I don't even think about it like that, like best in-ring. Like, you know, I mean, you could put like a guy like Omega is a fucking great in-ring wrestler, but if you compare it to a lucha-style, you could argue lucha-style is more acrobatic, so that makes it better. Who knows?
It does.
Then you look at a Darby, and you're like, well, that's more daring. So
that's daring and lucha.
It's kind of hard to even know. But I think like the best top wrestler right now, I think, is Cody.
No, I'm
not talking about in ring at all. I'm talking about full package. I think the guy's like the king of wrestling right now.
You think he's the king of wrestling?
I do.
The king confirmed.
King confirmed right now. King confirmed. Wrestling. Yeah. Not my favorite wrestler. I'm not saying he's every one of his matches is the best home run knockout of the park. But just in terms of the whole Jesus gimmick, really working. AEW's really working, and he's the top guy there. Now, I don't know what this tattoo does to that.
The tattoo gimmick. Wow. I mean, what a shocker.
So that tattoo's real, just if you're listening to this and you didn't know. They confirmed it, unless it's a work on AEW's.
It was too pronounced, and it was too much of a thing. The camera showed it too many times for it to have been, you know, henna. Or some water on gimmick.
It definitely wasn't henna. I was like, maybe it's a temporary tattoo, but I gotta say, it's real, right? I mean, like, they said it's real. That is a bold fucking tattoo.
Bold.
And I would say
it's crazier than my tattoo.
To the head, which is what?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely crazier than.
Well, your tattoo, it's on your back, and it's your full back. But it's Yokozuna, but it's to size, right? So it's only part of Yokozuna.
How'd you know that?
When you were changing your shirt earlier,
you looked.
It kind of the mirror. You know, you have like a mirror gimmick reflection.
Yeah. You saw the Yoko tattoo.
Yeah, you know when you catch side boob, you know, on someone changing, and then you got to look away quick. You're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of had that with you, but since you're a guy, I kept looking, and then I saw the Yokozuna gimmick.
Of course, you kept.
So it's
looking.
About. I would say it's your full back centered Yokozuna, but you get only like I want to say it's like a 20% of Yokozuna based on your size.
That's exactly what it is. I can't believe you were able to decipher that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's tough.
You don't wear glasses. That's 2020 right there.
I have 2020.
Yeah.
I actually have 1919.
You have 1919.
I have 1919. I think lower is better, right?
I have no idea. I think
lower is
better. Let me just say let me make a 3,000 foot view comment here.
Yeah.
Tonight. I would say that it says a lot that. I'm having a party at Depperstein Towers for AEW.
Right.
Right? I mean,
it's a catered event.
A catered event at Depperstein Towers for AEW.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people here tonight. And
many people. No tarps. No, you couldn't see a white tarp.
No.
The whole place was full.
Yeah, there was no tarp.
You said attendance records.
There was no tarp.
More than Obama's AEW party.
Let me tell you, it was a huge party. It was big. It was big. There was tuna fish, the most delicious tuna fish.
The leanest
corned beef.
McDonald's tuna fish.
The best hummus. The best hummus. The best spinach dip. The best pigs in a blanket.
They're full pigs. They're full pigs.
Yeah, there's pigs. They were real pigs. Beautiful pigs.
What's your favorite Trump line is what?
There's something going on.
it's under the radar
thing
he's
ever seen. It's the craziest. Literally, figuratively.
Right, right, right.
When I heard that, I was like, "Wow, this is." I'll never forget. He said this.
Right.
He was talking about something with Obama it was like his connection to Islamic. Like he wouldn't say the word Islamic fundamentalism or something back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, a few years ago, and when asked about it, Trump said, "There's something going on." Yeah, I just thought ridiculous.
Me, right?
Well, I added the believe me because I love believe me too.
Yeah,
that's
believe
one of,
he's great
that's
here.
One of the great catchphrases of all time. But from a sociopath.
My favorite Trump is when he tries to get the crowd to say, "We love it, don't we? We all love that."
Yeah.
About the thing he's trying to say.
Yeah.
So it'll be like kids in cages, like we all love that, right? Like we all love it, right?
anyway, let me go back to my point.
Yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
point is that,
yeah,
I got to tell you the feeling that I get that I got tonight watching these matches is the overall tone and feel of the event is not something that I felt in a long time. I really. Felt right. like I didn't know what was going to happen. And again, not that much happened. You know, there wasn't a ton of surprises and there wasn't that much, whatever. Right. But I still felt like on edge in some capacity. I felt like a kid again, sort of in the way that I would watch it when I was like, you know, 11, 12. I felt that, you know, we all know what that feeling is.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I had that feeling before and after each match. So it's like... it's every single person who knows that feeling knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
When you're just like, you're watching it and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel removed enough from this that it feels like, oh my God, if I could only be there in person.
Right.
You know, it's a great feeling.
Yeah. I think that, there's definitely let's think about it in this capacity. If you look at what happened on SmackDown, you don't have to dig far. I mean, I'm getting sponsored ads on my Facebook that talk about big booking change in WWE, and the booking change was exactly what happened. Goldberg goes over. Then they set up Goldberg Reigns, Cena, Wyatt. What their original plan was going to be Roman, Fiend, and then Cena, something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Cena was supposed to wrestle. Fuck, who is he supposed to wrestle?
Elias.
Elias, right? Yeah, he's supposed to wrestle Elias. So you're like, yeah. But I'm saying that literally, with AEW, I'm not seeing anything like that. I mean, like, I didn't see anything about AEW's plans for Jericho and Moxley. Like, not even like I randomly saw something like Jericho's going on tour, and like no one was like, oh, because Jericho's going on tour. It wasn't even that, because it's like, oh well, we don't even know. So I'm talking about WWE. It's like we kind of know shit that's happening. WWE, there's real leaking happening at WWE.
I know. By the way, we talked about this on Cheap Heat this week, and Rosenberg.
Oh, I didn't hear. I didn't listen.
Yeah, you don't listen to Cheap Heat.
I do sometimes. Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
No, I mean, I listen when you're on. I'll listen, but it's hard. You know, I'm working on this podcast a bunch. So I don't
know that it's the greatest wrestling podcast on the face of the earth, the number one.
I like to think that we're the number one podcast, but it's fine. I know you have an alliance and allegiance over there, one of your top clients' podcasts. So yeah.
Anyway, so
okay.
Anyway, what were we saying?
Well, we were talking about WWE having leaks.
So we were talking about this on this this unbelievable wrestling podcast, very entertaining, called Cheap Heat, and whoever the leaker is, there's got. Yeah, I mean, I was saying it's always Meltzer. It's always Meltzer on Pro Wrestling Sheet, whatever it's called. about that? I forget what it's called. What's
your Meltzer intake like? I know there's a tangent. I'm sorry.
I don't read his column. I don't read his article, but I read SE Scoops and Rajan. I'll go on and I'll see what's going on during the day. And like it used to be where I would never, ever click on anything that said spoilers. But at this point, it's like you cannot hide. There is no hiding.
No.
I could hide for a day. And, you know, everyone knows I live in kayfabe. I'm kayfabe only. But
I try to live in kayfabe.
I don't like spoilers. I don't like spoilers. And I, you know, I can only avoid it. Like, if I don't watch Raw on Monday, only till Tuesday night can I maybe avoid either a text chain or a podcast or something that pops up on my phone. Or, like, you know, therap.com that I look at entertainment news for. It clearly has some kind of association with WWE because they put news, WWE news, on the rap.
I see that. I've seen that also. Yeah, I've also just given up with spoilers, by the way. I just go like, whatever, tell me. People text me all the time, did you see?
I've given up too.
Here's what happened with me.
Isn't that sad?
With the Fiend Goldberg thing. What happened with me is someone texted me like, OMG or something. Like something like that. Or like, what?
Yeah, I got
and
a few. Are you
I
okay?
I got that. I got what? And you're like, well, I guess Goldberg won. Like, any text I get that's like, just any text at all, I'm going to know, oh, they put Goldberg over. Like, you could say, I know enough about WWE's booking style, and we know enough about what's going on behind the scenes that, like, a one-letter text could tell me the whole pay-per-view card. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
People say things, and then they go, I won't tell you if you don't want. Well, I'm like, you wouldn't have texted me if the normal thing happened, right? Like if Cena, if Fiend beat Goldberg, you wouldn't text me.
That's right.
Right? No one would have texted me. So I'm not mad at anybody. At this point, I've just understood, like, I'm going to get spoilers. It's all good. There's so much wrestling. It's all good. And if there's something I really don't want spoiled, then I take responsibility of watching it live. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
Here's what I'll say about The Fiend right now.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad at all about – I was trying to keep it in about the Goldberg thing with the Goldberg squash.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I knew this was probably going to happen. I had a feeling and I knew it was going to be – and so like I'm going to – but now that I think about it, I'm so mad.
Yeah.
I'm
like devastated.
Let me tell you why. I wasn't mad up until the fact – I wasn't mad – to the point of you know, mental anguish.
Right.
Until I watched SmackDown. And you got just the point, you know, from the Fiend to the WrestleMania sign and then the hat nod.
I almost threw my phone at my TV.
There is nothing. It's out of all the lazy segments, it is the singular laziest segment of all time.
I'm going to read you my post I put in the Facebook group because it's I had to fire this off impulsively right away because it's just almost exactly what you echoed. All right, well, I gotta find it, but
let me finish
it normally
my point.
Pops up right at the top here, but the exact word I used was lazy. I was like, it's not fun, it's boring, and it's lazy. This is the worst written SmackDown I've ever seen in my whole life.
It was the worst episode of all time, maybe.
And then some, you know, it's amazing because some people, this is what happens, like some people, because I was like, I don't like speaking negative about WWE during Mania season, really, because I'm trying to have fun. I'm paying money to go, right? I'm going down there. I have a blast when I'm there, regardless of the card. I'm there with my friends, you know what I mean? You know, doing Cowmania live, the live cow show. Like there's so much fun shit happening. So it's like focusing on any negative, whatever. But then when they do something so flagrant like this, you know, that I'm like, come, like it's so hard. It's like, okay, so Goldberg pins Fiend. Goldberg comes out, says who's next. Roman comes out and just goes, I'm next. Match set. That's it. Okay. No beef between them at all. That's it. Plus, they had announced there was going to be a chamber. Whatever. Who cares? And they're also playing around booze. It's just booze, booze, booze. It's so frustrating. Then it's like Cena comes out, cuts this promo, and he's like, all right, I'm here. Like, Mania shouldn't have John Cena in it because I'm here focusing on new talent, which directly contradicts the opening segment. So it's like, if you want to go there, have Cena come out and talk to Goldberg. You know what I'm saying?
Here's what should have happened, okay? You want to start a feud between
But also,
the
I just want to say last thing, and then I'm going to go, you go full. It's my full point. Cena comes out, says that, and then Fiend just comes out, points to the signs like, hey, you want to wrestle? All right, fine, let's do it. The Fiend character is a character who would stomp out Cena. He wouldn't just point at the sign. I mean, it doesn't fit his character at all.
He shouldn't even know the sign exists.
But he shouldn't know the sign exists. And if he is going to do that, point at the sign, that happens in the Funhouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be Bray coming out and being like, point at the sign, let's go there. Like, silly Bray. Not full-on scary Fiend who points at a sign. It was horrible. He looked like a fucking idiot. Yeah. In the jacket, he's not supposed to lift his arms at all when he's wearing the leather jacket. All right, go. Sorry.
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, of course, I agree with everything you said. Yeah. But where they could have taken this.
Yeah.
And maybe they will. Right. But I don't think they will. Is the pig in the Firefly Funhouse.
Right.
With the headband on.
Is John Cena.
Always reminded me of John Cena. And yeah. I believe it to be John Cena.
Right.
Saying, you know, Cena's a pig and he hogs the spotlight. Or,
yeah.
That's the allegory
that I
thought that it was.
Dude, that's way too smart.
So why not use that to kind of insult Cena during the Firefly Funhouse, make fun of his success, make, you know, fun of his Hollywood life, whatever the case may be,
right.
Make a mockery of him using the gimmicks in the Firefly Funhouse,
right.
And then kind of, you know, do the feud or, you know, that should be what he does,
right.
Whatever the case may be. But instead, they chose, I don't even know if it was, I can't even say it was the easy way out. It was nothing.
It made no sense. John Cena cut a promo that had nothing to do with what happened. Then Fiend comes out and says, hey, you want to do it? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll wrestle at Mania. Like, didn't push him at all to go back on the story he's telling.
I know. And then you go, you watch AEW tonight. It was completely unpredictable.
And one small thing about that Fiend thing is I was like, maybe they ran out of time and just sent Fiend out there. But then I was like, the camera angles were done so deliberately. The Fiend is standing directly behind in the background, and then Cena's head is deliberately placed in the foreground to be blocking him, and then they slightly move the camera and he's there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it was set to be that. Also, Fiend should always be in the red light. I don't like the laziness of dropping the red light a bunch. I love the red light.
Wrestlers don't like to wrestle in red light, though. That's the thing.
Right. That's fine. But that's during the match.
You don't. Please.
Okay.
Please. I was hanging, like I've said, I was hanging by a piece of dental floss still on the Fiend train, and now it's going to have to evolve again because it's done. It's dead.
I think that Fiend will be fine, I'm predicting. Here's why. Is that I think that Bray is really smart. I think he will find a way to
figure it out.
Make it interesting. And because he never needed the title in the first place. So we just need time removed from it. The thing is this. Here's what I'm worried about. My thought is going to, he dropped the, Fiend drops the title, right? And we got to go back to AEW Revolution because we just watched it. But did Fiend drop the title so that Cena can pin Fiend?
No. Cena or
without Fiend, winning the title for the 17th time?
The Fiend dropped the title so that Roman could face Goldberg.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm overthinking it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So AEW Revolution, tell me. So where do we go from here? Let's talk about Jon Moxley winning the heavyweight champion.
Let me just say something, a complete non sequitur. I noticed something very funny and interesting.
Right.
Just going back to our Jewish food conversation. Yeah. In the in Judas, which by the way, I am now. You know, if I went to the gym, it'd be the song that I played at the gym. But I don't go to the gym. You know, I haven't been to the gym. In quite some.
I've listened to it in the gym. I listen to it a lot of mornings on the way to the gym.
I'm listening to it in my car. I listened to it in my car 3 or 4 times today when I was driving down Wilshire Boulevard just to get hyped for that traffic. You know, I'm getting hyped for Wilshire traffic.
Yeah, you gotta get ready to
just
stop
to play Judas. And by the 3rd or 4th time I played it, I noticed in one of the verses, he says Afikoman.
Afi Coleman.
I'm telling you, he goes, Afi Coleman.
$5 from Grandpa. Afi
Listen to it. I'm telling you.
Afi Coleman. Because I become.
Yeah.
Afi Coleman.
It sounds like Afi Coleman.
Yeah, that's great. That is the most Jewish observation of all time.
How about that observation?
I love that. Yo, so John Moxley, let's talk about it. So
the Jericho, I wanted Jericho to win that match.
So did I. Jericho entrance. What did you think of having the choir?
I love the choir. I can't believe how dramatic the scar on his face is. Yeah. I mean, very dramatic scar that will be there for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I mean, he looked. By the way, so he has that scar. Whatever, that's gonna look bad. But the guy looks 30 years old in the face.
He looks great.
He's got a guy, like a Botox guy. I mean, he's got a lot going on.
He looks
great. And they're doing great work. Yeah. I'm talking about pure face, hair, whatever guys he goes through, he's going to top guys.
Man, I got nothing but love for Chris Jericho right now.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So here's the deal, Jericho. So he comes out. So Jericho, in the match, doing all the, like, it was kind of like a Jericho comedy match. Like, he pulled out all the stops of, like, the video camera, grabbing shit from the fans, announcing he won the match, ringing the bell. That stuff's always so fun. All, like, New Japan Jericho. He kind of brought it over to this match. But Jon Moxley ultimately wins it. Jon Moxley takes off the eye patch, revealing he could see the whole time. Makes no sense. I mean, why would you do that? What? Just explain. I'm saying, it's so dumb. What is the benefit of pretending you can't see?
I don't even remember the origin of it.
So he just, like, took it off to be like, guys, I can actually see.
Well, why did he have it in the first place?
Because Jericho hit him with keys in the eye.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, look, I don't know. I have no idea. That match did not steal the show.
No.
The match that stole the show was
the
tag match was Kenny Omega, who's looking the best he's ever looked at 34. And the whole feeling of that match made it feel huge. It made it feel big and interesting, and, you know, you're just not going to see wrestling
and
that anywhere
else. And it feels like WWE literally can't do it. They can't do it.
No.
Like, they don't have the talent. They're not approved to do a lot of these moves. They have
the talent, but they're not approved to do the moves.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, I thought the Young Bucks.
You saw
really
20 pile drivers tonight.
I know. I said that tonight, by the way. I was having an argument against AEW NXT. Someone was like, "What do you like?" I go, listen, it's one word, pile driver. A pile driver is so valuable to me. I'm a mark for pile drivers.
I'd like to try one on you right now on this table.
Let's do it. All right. Oh, I'm getting up. Get up.
This granite composite table.
Okay. Here. I'm on here. Go. Give me the move. Wow. Wow.
How's your head feel now?
Honestly, I think I learned a couple things.
More Yiddish.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Schnurr. All right, here's the deal. So,
I'm not Schnurr.
No, absolutely not. The Young Bucks tonight, I thought, looked like $1 million. I think the Young Bucks, I kind of get annoyed. Young Bucks take a lot of heat because they're popular. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like people are, like, looking for things to say about the Young Bucks, even when they're lying low. Like, don't mistake it. Those guys are the fucking best tag team wrestlers. You can argue guys like Lucha Bros or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But in terms of, like, their moveset and the fluidity, like, I mean, every time Nick Jackson does that move where he goes from coast to coast, essentially, but he runs across and kind of drop kicks the guy but lands on his feet. I don't know how to even describe
all
it.
All these Canadian...
It's like Matrix-y. It's great.
All the Canadian Destroyer-esque...
All of it.
All that's like all the Canadian Destroyer-type moves are what... I mean, who did that one tonight? That was like that stunner? What the hell was that?
That was Darby.
Was that Darby?
That was Darby, yeah.
Wow. I mean, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it's great.
Have you ever seen anything like that before? There was another one. Maybe was it MJF who did it?
No, that was...
There was like that...
No, that was Pac on Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
Pac...
No, it was Orange Cassidy on Pac.
Yeah. Well, Pac picked him up and then Cassidy gave him the stunner.
That was a crazy stunner.
Basically, it was
stunner.
Like a jackhammer into a stunner, right?
It was amazing.
It was the kind of... Yeah. There was so much stuff happening where we're all like, there was a lot of, I've never seen that before, thrown around tonight. Yep. Sometimes it was said directly. Sometimes it was a vibe. Like, for example, MJF Cody, they did the full-on suplex out the ring, but not let go. Full, kept that going. Yep. That looked pretty fucking
I've never
dangerous.
Seen that before.
I thought that – I mean, the show was just a great show. It's different. Every time I watch AEW pay-per-view and the show, I go, this is wrestling for adults. Like, it's like for adults.
It's wrestling for us.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like you could show it. Honestly, if my wife was here and she watched that, I think she would appreciate some of the stuff she saw.
Of course.
And some of the WWE stuff, it's like, it's hard to show her, like, King Corbin. You know what I mean? Or like something like that. Like, oh, he's like a king or whatever. But if I'm like, yo, here, these guys are like athletes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All you have to see is the Sammy Guevara, like 360. Wow. That 360, like front flips, moonsault right. thing. That was the greatest move of the night.
Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin. And it's like, beautiful. Who won that match? I have no idea.
Darby won it.
Right. I didn't even remember. It doesn't even matter. It's right. just like, let's see, watch these guys do elite level wrestling.
Highest,
great.
Highest level.
I thought Orange Cassidy tore the fucking house down.
Tore it down.
And so what are your thoughts on a guy like Orange Cassidy? Comedy gimmick. My whole thing I'm talking about is like, I like rewarding comedic performers.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I like Orange Cassidy. Yeah. I need next time I need a story.
Agreed.
I need a storyline for Orange Agreed. Cassidy.
But the
I love
story
it.
They told in the
to
ring tonight
it,
was kind of next level work, to be honest. Like, it was that I've never seen, except for the times I've seen Orange Cassidy on the indies, but I've never seen a match like that, which is like clearly a gimmick goof match, turn into a legitimate match like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, come on.
It built.
I may watch that before. I'm going to watch it again tonight. I'm going to watch that match again.
You're going to watch The Fiend point again?
Oh, God. I was so disappointed with that. Oh, man.
So, Jon Moxley wins the title. Did you? I wanted Jericho to retain. I feel like the precedent of setting that, first off, Jericho is the champion. He was killing it. He's the most mainstream star they have, and I still think there's a lot of value in him going around with that title. Who knows the inner workings of he's leaving to tour. Maybe he's like, I need a break, blah, blah, blah. Who knows? We don't actually know. But him holding that title for like a year, I thought would have been a smart move.
I think they have Jericho win it back at the next major show.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I think that the thing is that they were, you know, what are other matchups Jericho could have? Like, that's my thought immediately went to. It's like, I would hate to think that AEW
books
himself at the corners.
Coming out of this match tonight,
right?
Who does Jericho...
Right.
Who would you like to see Jericho feud with? And who would you like to see Moxley feud with? Because unless it's one of these, you know, these newcomers, whether it's, you know, Matt Hardy or Luke Harper or somebody who we know is coming up, who else, barring them, who else right now? Any of them could feud with them, but who do you see as the next logical person? Is it MJF?
I think it has to be...
And Moxley.
Someone who people aren't expecting.
It's going to be someone you expect. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I just think...
They're not just going to bring someone up from the beginning of the card.
No, I'm not saying someone... I'm saying like...
Is it Kenny Omega?
Like, well, you say barring like a Matt Hardy. Because I'm like, whoever's the head of the Dark Order, I'm like, is somebody I could see that gets put in that spot.
Forgetting people who are not on television yet.
Okay.
Who
MJF, I think, is like positioned for a championship
run. He's the top heel in the company right now.
Yeah.
Except Jericho, who's like a big
heel. There's a slight issue with MJF, though. Like, with MJF, I get very... It's tricky. I'm a big fan. MJF is one of my guys. Right,
he's one of my guys too.
He's one of my guys.
Oh, he's one of my guys. He's one of my guys.
He's one of your guys?
Yeah,
we got to go through your All Elite Wrestling guys list. I mean,
I said it's very seldom.
That's what I'm saying.
That I choose one of them.
It's the Lucha Bros. It's the Lucha Bros. And MJF, and that's it.
It's Darby, Lucha Bros, MJF, and that's it.
See, Cody's not one of your guys?
No.
Yeah, I would say Cody is one of my guys, but Darby Allin's on. He's on my one of my guys.
Oh,
watch list.
Hello. Luchasaurus is one of my guys.
Really? Luchasaurus? Yo, actually, I've been meaning to reach out to him. I'm friendly with him.
Oh, man.
Great guy.
You know what? I want him in full gimmick at my next Dipperstein Towers dinner party.
So,
and I'm going to serve Dinosaur.
Luchasaurus did a...
Deli and Dinosaur.
Luchasaurus used to... You're going to serve Dino? That would be offensive to him.
Yeah,
bro.
He's going to come to the house.
Anything reptilian, he's out.
He's going to come to the house, and he's going to say, I see the tuna fish. I see the egg salad. Yeah. I see the turkey. what is that over there next to the turkey? Is that what meat is that?
Is that a dino? Yeah.
That's you know, it's a pterodactyl. That's pterodactyl meat. Is that okay?
Is that okay?
What am I supposed? And you know, you're supposed to dip it in, you know, truffle butter.
Dude, I mean, he's gonna walk. I mean, first you're gonna get a roundhouse, and then he's gonna walk.
You think so? You don't think he could sit in a house where people are eating dinosaur?
I don't think he can handle it. I mean, it's like, could you? Well, let's be honest. Well, could you sit in a house if people are eating Jews?
Yeah, we're delicious.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
That's the equation.
It is. It's not like humans.
I was gonna say, well,
very specific.
No, it's.
Well, I don't know what kind of dinosaur he is. I assume a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
We don't know what it is. Well, that's another thing is that the dinos, it's interspecies. Like
you think he's an inbred dinosaur?
That's what I'm saying. Well, I'm saying dinosaurs. The T-Rex seemed fine killing other dinos, right? So the point is that, depending on his breed of dino, right, then I think
you think he's an herbivore.
Yeah, he might be herbivore. My point is that he might be like, what is that? And you're like, it's brontosaurus. He's like, all right, good. Because if it was pterodactyl, we'd have a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Did you think other dinosaurs ate – you think Luchasaurus' species ate pterodactyls?
I mean, like, I think it might be the equivalent of us eating, like, chickens.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
You think that you're saying that pterodactyls are the chickens of dinosaurs?
That's what I'm saying. That's the working theory.
It is? What a hypothesis.
I don't know about it's
fucking
more,
Aristotle over here.
Honestly, I think it's more like an eagle. Like a pterodactyl is more like an eagle,
uh-huh,
which you wouldn't eat.
I see.
Uh-huh. I know that reference from GP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like an eagle, you would eat it, like, if you had to. You know what I mean? It's more like that.
I don't think I could eat an eagle.
No, I mean, I wouldn't eat an eagle.
No.
No. But too patriotic.
You think that's what's in Eric Rowan's cage?
Pterodactyl?
Yeah.
It's a baby pterodactyl.
Yeah. Or it's Luchasaurus's eggs.
I think it's Mark Henry's hand son.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah, I think it's the same rat that ate that piece of meat with Bad News Brown. You know?
Could be gobbledygooker, but you know, there's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
It's probably the boogeyman.
You think it's a boogeyman in there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. He's not that heavy. What were we talking about before this? Oh,
who's one of our guys? I just told you all my guys.
Darby Allin's been on one of my guys' watch list for a while. I haven't pushed him over the edge. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for him to have a true storyline. You know what I mean?
I want them all to have a real storyline.
Right.
So let's not.
Well, I mean it's a big problem. But MJF, here's what I'm going
it's
back.
Not
to.
A big
MJF's
problem.
One of my
it's
guys.
A problem.
Let's go back to where we were at. MJF, it's not a big problem. Because the show, it's not a big problem. That's the thing. AEW is a great. If they're going to put on, like, if you talk about Dynamite, the opening match they had, that the Iron Man match they had,
yep,
on Dynamite, if they're going to do that, then how much story do they need? Maybe not that much.
I've been making this point for a long time. They don't need. The difference is, you know, the wrestling in WWE is so predictable week to week. There's nothing crazy. You could fast forward galore.
Right.
AEW, if you have to get up, you know, and go to the bathroom, you can't go to the bathroom. You have to pause. Okay, like tonight.
Right.
Were you wanting to go to the bathroom?
No.
You didn't want to go to the bathroom.
No.
You wanted to keep watching.
No.
You needed, you know, separation to go to the bathroom.
I drink a lot too much water that I had to, but no, I didn't want to. It was great. I mean, also, comfortable seats in the house here.
Yeah.
I just want to point out to everyone, so Dipperstein has the lights in his house rigged where on his phone, I believe, he can change the colors of the lights in the house. And so right now it really is Fiend gimmick red.
Yeah, we're sitting in red.
The Fiend could show up. And look like full right.
He can point to my beautiful WrestleMania image of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah, by the way, this is it's gorgeous, a gorgeous piece. You got that custom made, right?
I did. Shout out to Extra Cooler, at Extra Cooler.
I love that.
A great artist.
So MJF, here's my problem, MJF, is that I find that his wrestling is a little boring. Now,
yeah, it's all about the gimmick for him.
It's all about the gimmick for him, but you think he's a young guy, jacked guy. He's not very athletic.
He's athletic.
So what is it?
I don't. So he's not doing anything that dynamic.
He just doesn't. He just doesn't want to.
He's not a risk taker.
He's not a risk taker.
No.
He's like, oh, I'm all character, so I don't need to do it. Because you know, his heroes are like the, you know, the Rock. Like he's on record, like the Pipers. Like those are the guys he likes. So I feel like he doesn't. He's like, I don't see any need to do like a fucking Suicida. Like he's like, why?
I hate Suicidas. Who?
Whatever.
Good night. Good luck, Suicida. I don't need Suicidas.
Absolutely. Any example of a move like a super kick? He's like, or whatever. Well, super kick's not dangerous. But whatever. He's like,
he's not doing what Darby Allin's doing.
That's what I'm saying. But what
I'm cares? Is who cares? He's a mat wrestler.
I agree. He doesn't need to do it. But I am saying during that match there was. I wasn't looking at the people.
You went to the bathroom.
There was some phone people. There was some phone work by people.
There was phone work.
There was some phone work.
Yeah, there was some scrolling going on.
So if we're talking about this guy being the top guy in the work rate company, I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm just saying MJF versus Ambrose, I can't see those being great matches.
If there's a great story, it doesn't matter how great the match is.
I agree. If it was WWE, I would totally agree. In AEW, there's part of me that's like, I want to see, like, I'm expecting a work rate situation.
God, let me tell you, I made you coffee. You really perked up.
What do you think? Is it too much?
No, it's unbelievable. It's what a transformation.
So here's my, I'm a big coffee guy. You know this, right?
Yeah, is coffee one of your guys?
Coffee is my main guy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, in life, there's coffee.
Yeah.
I would say me and my wife. Coffee is like our god. We like live on coffee. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We're known for like, if we show up to a party, people are like,
there's no coffee.
They're like, they know we're gonna have coffee in hand.
I'm a big coffee offerer to people.
Yeah.
Big coffee offerer.
You know what? I'm glad I asked for it.
Because I didn't offer
it. I was glad I asked for it because you didn't offer it.
Well, I mean, it's different when you have a Keurig filled with, you know, cups. So you could just go and get it, you know.
Well, also, it was at 9 p.m. It's an unusual time.
I would expect the people that I had here tonight I want people to – the whole –
Who brought the best dish? I just want to say.
You know, Bobby Baklava.
Well, yeah.
Yearn for is a group of people in my house that feel comfortable enough to make their own coffee, that feel comfortable to use that Keurig – And put that, you know, water on and make their own coffee.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
It's great to know because I had an incident earlier. Couldn't find you.
Where was I?
I was interested in a bubble beverage.
I'm kidding. It's a huge house.
You were all over the place.
Yeah.
So you might have been in the – we were on the 8th floor, I think?
Yeah, probably.
I think you took the elevator.
Yeah. No, but, it's, you know, there's only 7 floors, so it must have been the 7th.
Oh, okay. You don't count the mud room as a floor? It's a large.
Well, there's a step up.
Yeah,
there's a step up.
There's a step up. Yeah.
So yeah, I do. Okay. Eighth floor.
Yeah. So anyway, I had a situation where I was looking for. I was drinking a lot of water. I was like, I could use a bubble beverage. I'm looking around. I'm seeing some LaCroix in people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the fridge. And I was like, should I open the fridge? You know what I mean? Like, you're not here.
You don't think you can open the fridge in my house?
I it's not that. Listen, I know logically it's not a thing. But I didn't know if the beverages were all fair game. I opened it up. You know, you open up a fridge and then you see, rows and rows of the same beverage. You go, he bought it for the party. I opened the fridge. I didn't see rows.
You're
and
not
rows.
Seeing rows. There's rows galore. It's like a farm in there.
There's a lot of beverages, but I saw a lot of different beverages and was like, oh, maybe this is for you.
I like variety.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that
nothing
made it
is
feel.
For me. I'm never here. I barely live here. I sleep here. That's it. This is the most time I've spent
in my head.
Here
I'm like, I'm like, you're gonna come down the stairs here, and then you go like, oh, Dan, you think you could just go right into the fridge?
Yeah, I would say that maybe as a gimmick on a podcast, but in real life, I'm offended that you would even be offended, or that you would even question whether you or not you can go into my refrigerator.
It has nothing to do with you. It's just my own.
You could go into my bottom cabinets.
Absolutely. By the way, in my house, do whatever. Go take a nap in my bed.
Yeah, I don't need you to take a nap in my bed. I have a spare bedroom. And by the way, the sheets are clean in there. I don't really want you napping on that bed either right now.
But, yeah.
You know, God forbid tonight, you know, you were like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there was a corona thing. You couldn't leave. You know, then you could stay in the
bed. Oh, yeah, that's true. Look.
There's definitely an Afi coming up there from Hanukkah Pest.
What were we talking about before? What were we talking about? AEW. I want to make sure we hit everything. We're talking about MJF, right?
Sure.
Big. I'm a big fan. I love the way he won the match. I thought it was great. I liked the match. Just saying. You know, whatever. That's not what we're talking about.
Let me ask you a question. If I had,
all right, we're jumping around.
If I, no, we're not. We're going to stay right here. If I had MJF to Dipperstein Towers for Passover, what do you think he would bring? Wine, right? Is wine? It wine?
You think he's a wine guy?
I do. I think he's a wine bringer.
Well, here's what I would say about MJF.
What do you MJF think he would
is
bring?
is a Jewish guy. You know what I mean? Like, he literally works out in the gym by my parents. He works out in my parents' gym. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's billed from Plainview. I mean, his name is Max Freeman. He's a Jewish kid.
Yeah.
He's in the wrestling world for a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think dominates. I think you lose your existence there. So I think what he's going to bring is more of what a wrestler would bring as opposed to a Jewish man.
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to bring a fresh challah to my house.
Yeah. So I think he would come in and maybe bring, like, you know, like some tanning gift certificates or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, you think he's that far removed from reality?
That's what I'm saying. I think he shows up, tight jeans, fanny pack. You know what I mean? Like,
I think
he's a wine guy?
No, I think he shows up in a Richard Graham shirt with the different colored wrist cuffs.
Yes, yeah, like an EC3 shirt.
Yeah, yeah, I think he shows up in that kind of shirt with a lot of buttons unbuttoned.
Yeah, I think he would bring wine.
I think you're right. He's a wine guy.
I think he's a wine guy. How do you feel about when somebody brings you wine to a party? If someone brings wine tonight, what is your thought? Is your thought that they went to the wine store?
I could tell right away. If someone's regifting a bottle of wine to me, I know instantly.
Well, with me, it's always a regift. We don't drink wine, so I have so much wine. A lot of it's good wine.
Yeah, I have.
So I'm happy
I
to.
Have
I'm happy
so much
to,
wine.
Right. So I give it to people. But is that a bit? How do you feel about that move?
I think it depends. If you feel like it's a house, you could do it and get away with it. Then get away with it. I think it's case by case, but generally.
What about tonight? If I brought a wine,
I would know right away if it was a regift.
And would it bother you?
I would go upstairs. Probably, I would excuse myself from the group. I would hop on my laptop and I would look up how much the wine was instantly.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that true?
When people come to my house, I line up all the booze and then I Google it all and then I write it down and I look at it and for months and months and I keep it in the file.
Have you? So I did at one point. I did at one point when I would re-gift wine. I did at one point be like, let me Google this one to see if it's. I don't know anything about wine. Let's see if this one's like a fucking $150 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
And then at this point now, I did that maybe like two times, and then I was like, who fucking cares? I don't care about wine. It's expensive. My friend gets. So now I'll bring people. I'll just give people wine. So I have no idea how good. I can give people wine that's $5 or $200. I have no idea.
You know what? It's because you're classless. That's why. I will. This is how much booze I have in my house right now.
Yeah.
I will now go into a cabinet, look at all the wines that I have. And I'll say, oh, how much is this one? Oh, this is a $28.99. Okay, this is a $28.99 house I'm going to. And you know, if it's I look it up, it's a $59.99. I say, I think they're a $28.99 house. I'll bring the $28.99.
Yeah, are you serious?
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
So if you're coming to my house, what's my price?
That's a good question. What are you having at the house? What's at the house?
Birthday party.
How many people?
50.
I'm bringing. You're getting $22.99.
Right, because you're not going to get credit.
No, I'm not going to get credit.
You're not going to get credit.
If you were having a small dinner party, where I knew that you intended on opening the wine,
right?
I would say I could do $35.99.
Right, that's nice.
$37.99.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, you're not. You're not $59.99.
Not 50. Who's $59.99? Do you got to be a client?
You have to be a real adult. You know, you have to be.
Wow.
You can't be like my wrestling friend.
Yeah.
You have to be, you know.
Yeah.
Like a real substantial person.
But well, you know what? It's hard to not take that as an insult, but you know what? I also take it as a compliment.
You should.
Yeah.
The cheaper the wine that I bring, the more I.
Wow.
The cheaper the wine that I bring to your home.
What a reveal.
The cheaper the wine. the more respect I have for you, because or the better friendship we have, because I'm not even trying to impress you, because I know you love me.
Okay, that's a good way to paint that. I already heard the first part. The damage is done.
But there's no damage. That is the truth.
Right. No, first of all, I don't expect anything. Here's what I'll say.
What about a cat? You want a small cactus?
What if it what?
Should I bring you a small cactus? A little succulent?
What if the party, it's my party, like, does it matter if it's a party that me and my wife are holding? Like a couple's party. I go like, we're having a thing. It's like our anniversary. So it's like more of an adult style party over like, yo, I'm having a rumble bash. Does that affect what you bring?
Absolutely. Now we're talking, now is it a gift
I'm expecting
party?
Adult dipper stick.
Now I'm going, I'm buying, right. You know, soap. Yeah. You're getting soap.
Wow.
You might get Aesop, some, you know, a candle.
Yeah.
Or maybe you know, maybe I'm bringing a nice piece of cheese to the house.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it depends on my behavior.
It does.
How I'm presenting.
Yes.
All right. Back to the trash part of me. So look, Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander. Your thoughts?
I was barely paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, so that came after the tag match. Didn't feel like anybody. It was definitely the cooler match, 100% the popcorn match of our party. Can't speak for everyone, but I did like the finish. It was definitely a little sloppy. Neither of us, just not a great wrestler. Chris Statlander, in my opinion, I didn't think she was very fluid. Chris Statlander has some interesting moves. The whole boop thing, not feeling it. I don't understand the gimmick. It just, you know, it was fine.
Didn't move me.
But I liked the finish. It was a cool kind of. That's a good finish for Nyla Rose. Makes her look really powerful. She does kind of like a power bomb off the top rope.
I got nothing to say about that match.
Okay. Well, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara. I mean,
we talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it.
Was Sammy's flip and Darby's. Yeah, I mean, Sky's 11. By the way, in the opening package, Darby Allin did almost, I want to say, a lion salt onto a. Skateboard that says Sammy on it.
I have never been hit in the head with a skateboard, and maybe those are gimmicked skateboards, which I'm saying is possible. Yeah. But I will tell you, I have held a skateboard in my hand, and I don't think a person could survive, in my opinion, getting hit in the face with one of them, and be able to continue a match.
The thing I love about
and he was hit clean. Some of the, I mean, back of the head, front of the head. I mean, they were hit clean by these.
There's a thing about Darby Allin, which is interesting. Darby Allin wears a mask. He has a full gimmick costume, but also has a real authenticity to him. Like, I feel like he is that guy.
He's GOAT right now.
He's Mage.
Yes,
like,
Mage.
Right?
Mage.
I mean, he is he's bound for, like, big things. And he's not my typical style of wrestler, but he just – talent is talent. That guy's fucking talented.
One of my guys.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
What other match did we miss of the night? We had the... We talked about...
SCU Dark Order on the pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't see it. So here's what I'm saying. Do you think Chris Jericho dropped... Here's what we were at. Do you think Chris Jericho dropped the title because there's not any more feuds for him?
No. What do you mean? He's a full-time wrestler at AEW.
No, I'm saying title feuds. Who Chris Jericho already feuded with? Hangman?
Oh, he could. No, it's going to be.
He already feuded with Hangman. He already feuded with Kenny, right? Did he do a Kenny angle?
Yeah. It'll be Cody next at some point. I don't think they've done Cody.
Well, Cody Jericho. They'll go Jericho Cody now, right?
I think so.
Right. But you think Cody's just going to let the MJF thing go?
No.
But they'll pull them off.
By the way, that's another good point. Will we now see rematches and boringness, or will they immediately move on, you know?
We just saw Cody Jericho. That's what I'm saying. That he pinned him, and that's why he can't wrestle for again.
Right.
When he opened... I'm saying...
I
just want to go through the... I really want to think about this for a second. Mm-hmm. Jericho, what other feuds could we have seen from him? We saw Moxley. We saw Kenny. We saw...
Cody.
Hangman, we saw Cody. We saw, I mean, what? So the only
they'll bring
guy,
someone else in to feud,
right?
With him.
I'm saying I hate to think that they have to drop Jericho's title feud because they don't have enough talent at the top. That's what I hate to.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, like the you know, because who you know, And I think that's another thing is that these pay-per-views are pretty far apart, and it feels like they have to be so marquee that, like, I think something fun would to see, like, Jericho feud with someone who you know he's not going to beat but makes an interesting story. You know what I'm saying? So if you could see something like...
You know, someone who he's not
going to
beat?
No, someone he's going to beat.
Oh, like...
But, like, raises up, like, kind of like how it was with Hangman. Like, if maybe, like, Luchasaurus or something.
Yeah,
or like,
that would be great.
Right?
Yeah, you know Luchasaurus what I mean? Would be perfect.
You don't like it?
Yes, dude. I like
You love Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus in the main event? 100%.
Luchasaurus is
Luchasaurus
so big.
Should have the title.
Yeah. I tell you my Luchasaurus story. So Luchasaurus wrestled live on a live cow show. He's done it a couple times.
Mm-hmm, yes.
He wrestled Ziggler, Ryan Namath.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great. Just like right on the stage at our show. And they would do like full on matches, prepare him like awesome. I actually took a fucking chair shot from Luchasaurus. Almost killed me. I had my arms up, so it was, thank God. But I was like, yo, dude, thanks for doing the show, man. Like, I appreciate it. And he was like, anytime. And I was like, are you sure anytime? Like, I know it's not like, you know what I mean? Like, are you sure about that? Like, this is not exactly like a wrestling, you know, you know, ring or whatever.
Yeah, I think he lives out here.
Yeah, he lives here. And he was like, yo, he's like, if I don't have bookings, like, he's like, I want to just be wrestling. So, like, I'm down to do the show, whatever. And I had so much respect for him. He was like, he saw my show as a booking.
That's dope. I mean, I saw him hanging off one of the trees by Yamashiro up in Beechwood.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's where he lives. I think he lives up in the forest up there.
Right.
That's where
hanging, like, doing pull-ups?
No, I saw him just dangling. I think he was eating leaves.
He's perched, right?
I saw him at one point sitting on top of the Griffith Park Observatory. He was sitting on top of the roof.
What do you think he eats? Besides, we talked about maybe chickens, but do you think he has mates? I mean, he's the only. Are there other dinosaurs?
Yeah.
You've seen other dinos in Griffith?
No, I've never seen them, but I've you very rarely see coyotes, we know they exist and they eat other animals.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be tough to be out in LA as a single dino.
Yeah, it can't be easy. Although they have that new service, you know.
What?
The new dating service for dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's like
it's called Bumblesaurus.
Yeah, I thought it was called. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Tinder Dactyl.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Tinder Dactyl.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's
Ryosaurus.
I was thinking something for Hinge.
Yeah.
I was like Hinge Dactyl.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So this pay-per-view I thought was a great time. The Jericho title run in AEW was a major success.
Yeah.
Right? It's come to an end.
Yeah.
It's great. I think I'm excited to see where we go with the stuff. Jon Moxley cut a weird babyface promo at the end of the night.
I didn't like that, but, you know, he's an emotional guy.
Yeah. I don't like – that's one that always my complaint with, like, I've seen Kenny do it, the indies, a little too much, like, pretending it's real. You know, a little too much, like, I couldn't do this without you guys, like – do that off the air. You know what I mean?
Didn't need that on the air.
Yeah, do that shit off the air.
There was something. There was some controversy at the end there. We have no idea what happened. Yeah. He was waiting. The music wasn't hitting. There's something going. There's something going on. Believe me.
Do we think Matt Hardy's the Dark Order guy?
No, I think it was just. No. I think that's out. I think that's out.
Yeah, we know.
That's hype.
Confirmed?
No, not all confirmed. Right. Unconfirmed.
Well, another great pay-per-view for AEW Revolution. I have AEW. I mean, AEW just killing it. I love AEW. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great it exists. There's a room here excited of people. There's an energy that was different than a WWE pay-per-view, and that's fun.
You think so? Here?
Yeah.
At the Towers?
I just feel like people are watching it differently than when it's like I would say people take it more seriously. Like, I think when there's, like, if we're watching, like, a Survivor Series or something, and there's, like, a 10-man tag on, people are like, hey, it's fun, like, let's hang out, it's this. But I felt like people were, like, thinking, there was a lot of talk about, like, Jericho, you think he's going to drop it tonight? And, but, you know, there was
chatter.
It's more of a serious wrestling event.
Agreed.
A party.
Agreed.
So, that's exciting.
Afiko, man.
All right, Dipperstein, any last thoughts you want to get in here? Anything you didn't get to say?
Listen, I'm going to be in Tampa.
You're touching down.
I'm touching down in Tampa. It's official.
Really?
Yeah.
You coming to Kalmania?
It depends when it is. You know, I got a lot going on that
weekend. April 4th, Saturday, April 4th, 3 p.m. To 5 p.m. It's at the Cuban Club.
That might not be a good time for me.
Okay. Well?
I got something more mage to do, potentially. How do you feel about that?
Really?
Yeah.
At 3 p.m.?
I think so. Sounds about right.
All right. We're going to be at the Cuban Club. It's going to be after... it's right at the pop-up. Ted's Wrestling for Sale pop-up. I mean, you don't... All right. Okay. Well, anyway, I guess you heard it here a second. Dipperstein might not be... He might be in attendance. He might not be in attendance. Sounds like he has something else better. Which I doubt you have something better, but...
I'm going to be on a double date with Luchasaurus.
All right. Well, Dipperstein, thanks for hosting the party. And thanks for coming on the podcast.
Do me a favor. Stay mage, okay?
I will. Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of wrestling, I listen on
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. We'll be right back.